discussing, we're continuing our topic last week. Attaching to Hashem through tefillah, through prayer. Attaching to Hashem through prayer. And we said, just like Torah study has got two purposes, which is learning in order to know. To know, to learn, to teach, to do. But that's to know. And to know God's will. But the second part of it is to cleave to Hashem. Abotidbak, cleave to Hashem. How do you cleave to Hashem? When you're learning Torah, you're cleaving to Hashem. Why? Because the Torah is Hashem's mind. It's revealing Hashem's mind, and therefore you're cleaving to Hashem. So cleaving to Hashem, through prayer, a person cleaves to Hashem. And similarly, through learning, a person cleaves to Hashem. When a person's learning Torah, you're getting God's mind, you're learning about Hashem's will, you're learning in order to do, you're learning in order to teach, you're learning in order to keep, right? And you're also connecting yourself to Hashem. So when a person prays, same thing, similarly. When a person prays, they're acknowledging Hashem is the boss. The Rashba says, of Shlomo ben Aderet, who is the chief rabbi of Spain, a person praying has to clearly realize all success comes from Hashem. That's what I pray to Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem. He rules everything. Nothing can stop Hashem. He alone provides all necessities. For he is the master and we are his servants. Hashem is the boss. When a person prays, you have to realize that Hashem is the source of everything. Hashem is the source. And that brings the person close to Hashem. That brings Dveikut. 186. That brings the person to Dveikut. Dveikut is clinging to Hashem. The Torah says, Ubotidbak. So when I'm praying to Hashem, I am linking myself to Hashem. You're linking yourself to Hashem. Linking yourself to the source of everything in this world. And that is a mitzvah of turning to Hashem in times of need. There's a machloket over here between the Rambam and the Ramban. But before I get to that machloket, the Ramban says in Shemot chapter 13 that he says, increasing closeness to Hashem, right, which is the purpose of Dveikut. Dveikut is increasing closeness to Hashem. It also increases the influx a person gets from Hashem. Increases the shefa a person gets from Hashem. So increasing the clinging to Hashem increases a person getting blessings from Hashem. And this type of prayer is called Tefillah Le'ani. Right? If you look at Tehillim chapter 102, Kuf Bet, Tefillah Le'ani Ki Atof, Lefnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho, David HaMelech says. This is the prayer of the poor man, who pours his heart before God. So what do you mean, the prayer of the poor man who pours his heart before God? That is the aspect, it says, recognizing Hashem as the source of everything. A poor man has nothing. So he pours his heart before God because God is his savior. God is the one who's going to help him. God is the only one who can help him. And therefore that is the link. When a person really believes nothing else can help me except Hashem, and linking themselves to Hashem to the highest level, right? But it says, you know what, I have other tricks up my sleeve, and I can go to this one, I go that one, I'll try Hashem as well, right? That's not really showing complete trust in Hashem. Complete trust in Hashem is the trust of a poor man. He has nowhere else to turn to, right? But there's nowhere else to turn to. I was lucky, I saw today one guy over here, he had trouble in Israel with the taxes and the other taxes, different kinds of taxes in Israel, and he was broke. They broke him. They took away his house, whatever. Today he comes with a nice smile on his face. Hashem answers a poor person. Because there's nowhere to turn to. Couldn't afford a lawyer, couldn't afford this. Today he's looking better, Baruch Hashem. He says a lot of the troubles are away, past it, Baruch Hashem. So that is the prayer of a poor man. A person has nowhere to turn to. Pray hard. Right? That's success. Why is that more successful? The answer is because there's nowhere else to turn. And if a person puts all their faith in Hashem. There's no partial faith. A lot of people say partial faith. I have a lawyer and I have a doctor and I have this and that. You know what? All the lawyers and all the doctors in the world are hopeless sometimes. Right? I wish there was a cure for what I have. You know, no cure. All they do is there's only one cure. That's Hashem. Because doctors say there's no cure. All they do is maintain. They maintain you. A lot of medications today are maintenance, right? There's no cure, right? It's maintenance. And every so often there's a reminder that the maintenance doesn't work either. They just maintain you, right? So a person has to pray, that's it. There's nowhere else to turn to. When you have nowhere else to turn to, that's a prayer of a poor man. A prayer of a poor man is a person who has no other source. There's no other source. And that is the secret of Bo Tidbak. So Dveikut is part of prayer. And the second goal of prayer is gaining awareness of Hashem's presence. So it's a mitzvah to pray and a mitzvah to get closer. Mitzvah to pray, mitzvah to get closer. Bo Tidbak. We said the word tefillah comes from the word petil. It's got the same letters. Tefillah and petilah. The petilah is what you light, the wick. It's called the petilah, but its wick is it's made out of a thread which is entangled together with other threads. Right? It's woven together, the thread. So that's petilah. Petilah. And tefillah is, we're meant to be woven with Hashem. We're meant to be linked completely to Hashem. And that's a linkage between tefillah and petilah. So that's the machlok. Let's just go through the Rama very quickly. The Rama says, Mitzvah aseh litfalel b'chol yom. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to pray every single day. Shneimaz, it says, Va'avadetem l'Hashem l'kechem. You will serve the Lord your God. And the oral law teaches us, what is service of God? V'lovdo b'chol v'avchem. That's what we say in the Shema. You will serve God with all your heart. The rabbi said, which is avodah shebalev? What is service of the heart? Tefillah. Tefillah is service of the heart. So we have mitzvah, according to Rambam, it's mitzvah to pray to God every single day, and it's a mitzvah of service of the heart. And everyone has to pray, men, women, there's no difference. Why? Because it's not dependent on time. It's not a positive commandment which depends on time. It's a positive commandment which does not depend on time. You can pray anytime you want. There's no fixed time to pray, and therefore it's a positive mitzvah. The Ramban says there's no mitzvah to pray anytime you want. The mitzvah is to pray when you're in trouble. Right? He learns that from the pasuk. The pasuk says when there's a when the enemy are surrounding the city and you'll blow the shofar and you'll cry. That's a mitzvah pray. Prayer is when you're in trouble. There's no mitzvah to pray every day unless you're in trouble every day. Only when you're really in trouble, you really need that mitzvah for the pray. So the big debate, with halachas like the Rambam, mitzvah to pray every day. We pray every single day, mitzvah from the Torah to pray every day. And the purpose of that is, number one is to cling to Hashem and gain awareness of Hashem's presence. And the first one is the mitzvah of prayer. Okay. So clinging and praying. Two things. Clinging and praying. We said tefillah is tefillah. And tefillah, letters of petilah, which is clinging. Wound together. Woven together with Hashem. The truth is, a person should be talking to Hashem all the time. The awareness of Hashem should not leave a person. It's one of the six mitzvot. Which a person is constant mitzvot. Six constant mitzvot. Let's just recap the six constant mitzvot. Number one is to know there is a God. Number two is there's one God. Number three is to love God. Number four is to fear God. Number five is to don't go after your heart and don't go after your eyes. Five and six. So the six mitzvot, which are constant mitzvot. And so it's a mitzvah. So at the back of a person's mind, a person should know there's a God. And a person at the back of the mind, it's so hard to really love God. It's so hard. So hard. To fear God is easier than love God. I don't know, for me. But the more you feel that God did for you, the more you love Him. If you don't feel God did anything for you, why should you love Him? The person's got to feel like, you got to check out, check the box, how many things He did for you. What did God do for me today? That's what everyone asks. What did God do for me for today? Well, you're breathing? Yes, yeah, so what? Big deal. Everyone's breathing. There's billions of people breathing. Exactly. All the wonders you do, which we're not even aware of. I mean, the human body is so complicated. The wonders are going on all the time. The fact that you can the stomach can digest meat, but the meat of the stomach is not being digested. It's amazing. Think about it. Your whole body is made of meat. And can you imagine, your stomach digests the meat that it absorbs inside your stomach, but the stomach itself is not being absorbed. The pele plant. One of the wonders and miracles of the body. It's amazing. Miracle. And the fact is that Most of the body functions are just automatic. You don't even have to think. Your heart beats without you thinking. You breathe without even thinking sometimes. Usually. You're looking without even thinking. Everything's working without you thinking. It's all autopilot. It's amazing. The body is autopilot. It's a machine. It's a miracle machine. It's artificial intelligence. It just learns by itself. The body's learning by itself whether you're thinking or not thinking. You see kids who are daydreaming, but they're listening, they're paying attention. One part of their mind is focusing. And it's amazing how the person can multitask. We're amazing. We're better than Microsoft. Better. Multitasking. Better than Windows.
For how long?
So we're better. We're learning. Right? So When you link yourself to Hashem, you are clinging to Hashem. So prayer is the opportunity to approach Hashem. Zohar says to enter His palace, to enter the palace of Hashem. We talked about it last week, right? We said, when you pray, you're entering into Gan Eden. Why? Because Gan Eden is a place where Adam Rishon says, God used to speak to Adam Rishon. Right? He could speak to God, and God spoke to him. So when you're in a position where you are speaking to God, and God is speaking back to you, then you're in Gan Eden. At least you're trying to get to that level of Gan Eden. So you're entering the palace of Hashem, the Zohar says. That's Gan Eden. Its essence is communion with Hashem in the psyche's innermost chambers. That's very important. What is the psyche's innermost chambers? The heart, the brain, the mind. So what's going on in your mind is your holy of holies. A person's holy of holies, a person's going to realize the holy of holies is in a person's head. It's so hard to imagine, huh? Your holy of holies is in your head. If the holy of holies are thinking of the holy of thoughts, it's very good. It's quite adults in the holy of holies. Everything's working over there. The Holy Holy is thinking of dirty thoughts and horrible thoughts. You're bringing garbage into the Holy Holy. The Holy Holy is the person's head. That's where the soul resides. That's the holiest place. Why is the holiest place? It's like that's where the Shekhinah resides. Where does the Shekhinah reside in the Beit HaMikdash? In the Holy of Holies. Where does the Shekhinah reside inside of us? In the Holy of Holies. Where's your Holy of Holies? Your head. That's where the soul resides. Where's the soul reside? In your brain. So the brain's going to be full of holy things, otherwise the soul's going to go away. Right? That's how the temple was destroyed. Why was the temple destroyed? Because they worshipped idols. The Holy of Holies is not holy anymore. They made the Holy of Holies into a garbage pit. They put idols inside the temple. Menashe, his grandfather, right? Ahaz, they filled the temple with garbage. Obviously God's going to go away. If God goes away, it's easy to destroy a building where God is not there. It's very easy. So the rabbis say they destroyed a destroyed building. Interesting. What a way to put it, right? Even though the building is up, it's a destroyed building. Why is it a destroyed building? And the answer is because it has no essence of Hashem. Hashem doesn't will it to exist. It's destroyed already. So we have to realize to communion with Hashem exists in one's innermost chambers. Where is one's innermost chambers? Innermost parts of one's mind. And the innermost parts of one's mind is the Holy of Holies, because that's where the soul resides. And the heart whispers prayers and prays to Hashem, where emotion unites with truth, a natural bond with Hashem. Okay, so it's not just speech, it's also what's in a person's mind. And that's our problem with prayer today. The problem with prayer today is many people say the words, but their mind is elsewhere. So the rabbis give an analogy, I can't remember who it was. I think it's Chovah Levavot. Says the analogy is the king is visiting your house. Imagine that you get a note, the king is going to be in your house. What's the date today? March 5th. Adar 18th or 19th, whatever it is. Adar 19th. Yeah, it's my father's yahrzeit. Adar 19th. Tonight is Adar 19th. The king says, I'm going to visit your house. Adar 19th. King. Better than trap. King. So the guy says, you know what? I gotta go somewhere. He tells his kids, please, you be here. The king's coming. Please make sure the house is sparkling. You receive the king. I gotta go somewhere. The king comes to the guy's house. Come on, the king comes to the guy's house. Where is he? He had to go and run it. What? I'm the king. I expect him to be here. So the analogy he gives is, when a person's praying to Hashem, you gotta be there. Hashem is coming, talking to you. But the guy's not there. What do you mean he's not there? His mind is not focusing, and therefore he's not there. Because the Rambam says, you are where your mind is. So if your mind is not there, you're not there. So Hashem gets very upset. It's very hard to focus your mind all the time. That's Avodah Shebalev. That's the main essence of the work. Why is it called work? Why is prayer called Avodah, service of Hashem? The service is putting your mind into it. So that's why sometimes time is better to pray fast, just to grab your mind and just go with it, run. Or sometimes it depends on the person. Sometimes they pray slow, because then you can make sure your mind is in it. As long as your mind's in it, you're successful. It's very hard to get the mind in it, but that's where you are. So as we see, it says, Tefillah blo kavanah. Prayer without concentration is like a body without a soul. Can you imagine? The words are the body, and the intention is the soul. So it's very important, and so hard to do. So hard to do. So hard to pray. When you need to pray, that's what Ramban, Ramban takes the precedence a little bit. Ramban says, you only pray when you need to. So when you only need to pray when you need to, then you're really, your heart's in it. Right? When you're in trouble, for sure your heart's going to be in it. Sure you're going to pray with concentration. But you pray every day and you don't really need to pray. At least a person thinks, I don't need to pray, I have everything right now. That's when it's hard to concentrate. It's easy to concentrate when you need. And you're in desperate need. That's what Ramban says. That's when it's mitzvah to pray, Ramban. So you can understand the Ramban. Ramban's very easy to understand because the Rambam makes a real service of the heart. It also fits into the language. The service of the heart, the avodah shebalev, it's avodah, it's real labor. Labor is to focus that mind of yours. Well, that's hard. It's so hard to keep the mind on track. It's hard to keep the mind focused. It's really hard.
Did somebody pause when they lose focus?
Yes, 100%. And that's why we have windows in the shul. That's the reason. The Gemara says 12 windows in the shul. When a person loses focus, look up in the sky. The window should be high up so you can look up at the sky. And when you see the sky, think about the Kisei HaKavod. Think of the throne of glory. Think of Hashem. Think of the Creator. That's the idea. That's the idea of the windows. And where do we learn the windows from? It says Daniel. We did the book of Daniel. Sefer Daniel. Says he had windows in his attic. He would go up to the attic to pray. And he had windows facing Yerushalayim. He'd go up there. That's how he prayed. So why do you go up to the attic? And the answer is because you're not allowed to pray facing the street. When you have windows facing the street, you're going to look at the street and lose concentration completely. Your windows are meant to be directed upwards. So you have skylights over here. If you pray under the skylight, you're okay. If you pray far from the sky, you're not going to be able to see anything. But a lot of shuls make a big mistake and they put these fancy colored glass. Stained glass, big mistake. I think it's a big mistake. I think it's Asur. It could be Asur even. So instead of focusing on the prayers, you're focusing on the, okay, it could be biblical themes, but still, the guy's looking at Adam and Hava when he should be praying. So, it defeats the purpose, I think. Anyway, so that's what he says. Stop. Focus. Move the mind back. That's the avodah. The avodah is to catch that mind of yours and lock it up in the, you know, in a cage. The cage. Pray to Hashem. Now's the time to focus. You know, the trouble is we have this time to pray and we waste it. Well, it's not wasted 100%, but it's wasted 90% because the mind is not there. Hashem says, I got an appointment with you. Where are you? I'm here. What do you mean? Yeah, your body's here. Where's your head? You had to think about this, think about that. And the irony is, all these things we're thinking about is all in God's control. That's the irony. So I was thinking, you know, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Hashem says, just talk to me. Why are you thinking about what you do? I'm in charge of what you're going to do. I'm in charge of all these things. Is it going to be successful or not going to be successful? It's all in my hands. So why do you talk to me? Why are you thinking about it? Why are you... We're mad. We're crazy. We have Hashem. And that's the problem. The problem is when a person prays, they've got to visualize, I'm standing in front of Hashem. The problem is, how do I visualize Hashem? Machloket Rambam and Ravad, right? Rambam says, number one, you're not allowed to have any image of Hashem. All the images of Hashem, which the Torah says, the finger, the hand, the back, the front, the face, the lips, all are metaphors. Don't take it literally. Don't take it literally. The rabbi says, what are you talking about? Many great rabbis took it literally. So according to Ravad, you're actually allowed to visualize, which we don't hold like that. We don't hold like the Ravad. So we hold like Rambam. Rambam says you're not allowed to visualize. So what do you do? You're meant to think you're standing in front of Hashem. And the answer, all you can think of going to Rambam is Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem's name. All we have today is Hashem's name. Yudkei Vavkei, you stand before Hashem, thinking about Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem. That's the hard part. That is the problem. The problem is, the crux of the problem is, if I really thought I was standing in front of Hashem, I would definitely talk nicely. I would definitely focus. Because if I could see the president in front of me, and he has the power to do whatever, he doesn't have any power, by the way. But if the king is over there, the king has absolute power, has absolute monarchy, and he can do whatever he wants, you'd be terrified and standing to attention and focus, quivering. That's how they stood before the king in those days. The king had power, life and death. So that's how we should be standing. That's how we should be thinking. The trouble is we don't see it. Number one is we don't see kings like that today. Baruch Hashem. And number two, we have no way of visualizing. We have no way of even conceptualizing. So even if you read you read Prophet Yechezkel, the Merkava vision, right? And you see a little bit of a grandeur of the Hashem. It is all inspiring. It's all inspiring. You see the story of the chariot of Hashem and the Hayod and different kinds of angels and the trillions and trillions of angels running around. It's all inspiring. Or if you see a procession with a king or queen, and you see the guards and this and that, then you get more of an idea of what's going on. This, the King of Kings. Then you can understand a little bit of King of Kings. But the secret of prayer, he says, has to have God's seal. And God's seal is truth. So the emotion is a person's gotta pray with truth. What does that mean? A person has to pray with truth. In other words, I really believe in you, Hashem. Truthfully. And that also, a person should pray, maybe Hashem will answer me, I'll try other things, I'll try this, I'll try that. That's not praying with truth. Praying with truth is, I know you're the one, Hashem. And just like you keep your word, I'm going to keep my word. So the art of prayer is by internalizing that Hashem is the reason of our existence. Why do we exist? Because Hashem wills it to exist. We exist because Hashem wills us to exist. And if we can understand that, then we are able to pray. If a person can't understand that, then the prayer is not from the depths. Because Hashem is my creator. Hashem, I'm existing because Hashem wants me to exist. If Hashem doesn't want me to exist, gone. So I'm existing because of Hashem's will for me to exist. I have everything I have to Hashem. Hashem is my boss. Hashem is my creator. Hashem, there's no one else. That's it. No one else. So we have to use our imagination. And that's the word palel. Mitpalel, itpalel. Palel is to imagine, to cause oneself to imagine is mitpalel. Praying is an exercise in visualizing. To sharpen one's feelings of being before Hashem. And verbalizing this visualization. Okay. So we have to visualize. So that's what I'm saying. It's very hard to do. How do you visualize? You're standing in front of Hashem. Yud-Kivavke. Standing in front of Yud-Kivavke. So that's what we're losing. We're losing today this concept of standing in front of a king. We don't even know what a king is. So though one should use the siddur to help one's focus, it is important not to merely read the words, but to feel you are standing and speaking before Hashem. So just reading the words, you're like reading a book. It's not reading a book. These are the words I'm talking to someone. I'm talking to Hashem. The conception that you are speaking directly to Hashem, and He is listening. That is the secret of a successful tefillah. You're standing and speaking to Hashem, and Hashem is listening to you. You have to actually believe Hashem is listening to me. How do you know? Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefillah. Blessed you Hashem who hears the tefillah. We believe that Hashem is listening to tefillah. Person calls. We say in the Ashrei every day. What do we say? Karov Hashem chol korav. Hashem is close to all those who call out to Him. Chol Hashem v'emet. Whoever calls out to Him in truth. Again, we have the word truth. So truth is that link. It has to be truthful. What does it mean truthful? I really believe in you, Hashem. There's no falsehood over here. I really do believe. I'm praying to you. Because I believe in you. I believe there's only one address. You are the address for everything, Hashem. So if I'm talking, so a lot of people say I'm talking, but I don't know if Hashem's listening. That's also a problem. If you don't know if Hashem's listening, so why are you talking? I'm talking. I hope Hashem's listening to me. Please, Hashem, I want you to listen to me. I do want Hashem to listen to me. Do you believe Hashem's listening to you? I don't know. Maybe I'm not good enough that Hashem should listen to me. And the answer is no. Hashem is listening. Listening doesn't mean He's going to say yes. That's the thing. That's what we think. If He doesn't say yes, He's not listening. I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. He doesn't listen. Not true. All the prayers are worthwhile. All the prayers go up. All the prayers have an effect. The question is what the effect will have. It may not have an effect on you. It may not have an effect on your generation. It may have an effect on the next generation. It may have an effect. Eventually, it will have an effect. Eventually, all prayers have an effect. All tears have an effect. Hashem says, a storehouse of tears. He stores these tears. And when they're needed, He uses them. These tears, everything helps. And It's hard to imagine, but nothing is wasted. And that's why it's important. That belief, that's why I said emet. A person's got to believe, number one is, I am talking to Hashem. Number two is, Hashem is here listening to me. Whether he agrees, doesn't agree, he's going to say yes, he's going to say no, that's a different matter, but he's listening. Hashem is here listening. And that's the secret of efficient prayer, effective prayer. So a very, very important idea of effective prayer. Bereshit bara Elokim. Okay, what does it stand for? Bereshit bara Elokim. The last letter of Bereshit is Taf. The last letter of Bara is Aleph. And the last letter of Elokim is Men. Amen. Alright. Emet. It's true. It's true. Bereshit bara Elokim. Emet. It's true. And again, we say on Friday night, Asher bara Elohim lasot. Asher bara Aleph. Elokim Mem. Lasot Taf. Again, we see Emet. Emet. It's true. It's true. Truth is the key. The link between us and Hashem. So if you really believe that Hashem is there, and you really believe Hashem is listening, and you really believe you're standing in front of Hashem, that's emet, that's true, that's the emunah the person has. So then we have the ability to improvise. That's interesting, beautiful. The Jewish prayer gives us this ability to improvise as well. Right? That a person can add to their tefillah. So you have the basic format of the tefillah, which is 19 blessings, the Shmoneh Esrei. And in the Shema Koleinu, you can pray for whatever you want. You can improvise. In the middle of Shema Koleinu, you can improvise as much as you want. And even in the other prayers, if you're praying for sick people, you can add the names. If you're praying for Parnassah, you can add the names. You can add. But that's going to be on topic. Shema Koleinu is general. Whatever you want. So there you're able to improvise. So the Baal Shem Tov says there are three steps to attain Dvekut. Number one, and this is very critical, and this is the hard part, removing the ego. That's called Hachna'a, which is humility. Removing the ego. So a person has the ego, and this is the Gemara says, a line from a cowboy movie. This is where the cowboys got it from. This world ain't big enough for both of us. Hashem says to a person with an ego, this world is not big enough for both of us. And Hashem says, I'm not going to leave. You're going to. This world's not big enough for both of us. Can you imagine? Who wrote that line? It's in the Talmud. This world is not big enough for both of us. Hashem says, if you have a big ego, our world is not big enough. There's no room for me. If you, in your world there's no room for me, the world's not big enough for both of us. You've got to get out of here. So it's important. Number one is humility. In other words, when a person prays, it's not me who's fixing what's going to happen. Understand, you're the boss. Understand, I pray with humility. I'm praying to you because you can answer me. But I accept your will. That's it. You cannot demand. We see this, the Hasidim, they had this idea, you can demand for Hashem to send Mashiach. And great rabbis will get together and make a gezerah. Hashem has to send Mashiach. Now, whatever it is. Those rabbis all died. All died. All gone. Well, when the Hasidic movement started, right? 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever it was. And through the ages, people have tried to do that. Go there, make a gezerah. We make a gezerah. You can make a gezerah like a Beit Din. I just saw recently on Purim, there was a Beit Din making gezerot to vote for people. We, the Beit Din, say, good things are going to happen to you. Okay. Who says it's going to happen? Hashem is the boss. Hashem is the boss. Hashem makes gezerot. It says, Sadi gozer, Hashem mekayem. A righteous person can make a gezerah and Hashem will fill it. But to tell Hashem what to do directly, I don't know. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And that's what we see it's very dangerous. So it's got to be done with humility. And humility is not, I demand Hashem, you do this. That's not humility.
Would that be considered,
please,
like,
Hashem, can you please prophet? Do it? It's not a prophet. A prophet always tells you the future.
He's that you're going to have good prosperity.
We're making gezerah that you will get prosperity. I don't know. Does it work? Would I do it? I don't know. I think it's dangerous to. You can say, please, Bezrat Hashem, where goes there? And then it will work.
It's not legislation, it's more like petition.
Exactly. Petition works. That's what I say. The person's got to approach Hashem with humility. It's got to be humility. You cannot make a gezerah on Hashem. I'm gozer. And that was the problem with. We have a case in the Talmud. Choni HaMa'agel. That was the only time. Choni HaMa'agel, he drew the circle, right? He made the Choni, the circle drawer. He draws the circle. Hashem, make it rain. I'm not leaving if you don't make it rain. Chutzpah. Who's the chief rabbi? Rabbi Yochai Ben Zakkai said, I put him in Cherem. If he wasn't Choni, I would have put him in Cherem. He said, if I had done that all day long, nothing would happen. So, it's a chutzpah to do that. And it's dangerous to do that. But I guess a person is like Hashem's friend. You can get away with it. But Choni was a special person. But you don't find any other case. Even Avraham Avinu is not pleading Hashem to save Sodom. He doesn't, you know, Anechoya Fava Ephra, he's apologizing. I'm not gozer on you, Hashem, to save. I'm just saying it's not right. But obviously, you're the boss. Hashem. You're the master of the world. So that's the way to talk to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu also says, otherwise erase my name from your book. What did he gain from it? Hashem says, okay, I'll erase your name from my book. But he knew he's not doing it for himself. He's pleading. It's a pleading, also pleading. There's no gezira. You can't tell Hashem what to do. So number one is humility. Number two, and this is the hard part, separation from physicality, which is the hard part, because all the time, thinking about their dinner, you know, and people think about, I know, the finances and this and that. But it's good. It's good because you're praying. You want to pray for these things. But the trouble is, once you start praying for them, they start taking over your thoughts. That's the danger. A person says, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Oh, all of a sudden, he's thinking about his health. He's thinking about who else. You know, happens to me sometimes. I'm praying for this person, and all of a sudden, I start thinking about them. And then I go, the mind goes off a tangent. You start thinking about them, and you start thinking other things, and you forget what you're doing over there. But you're praying for them. But then your prayers cause your... So it's hard to separate from the physicality. Because you're praying for the physicality. But that's very, very critical. Severance from the physical and from anything that holds you back. Because the physical body holds a person back from attaching to Hashem. And the last thing is something the Kabbalists talk about all the time. Mituk. Mituk literally comes from the word matok. Sweet. Sweetness. Sweetening all the judgments above. How do you sweeten the judgments above? The answer is by attaching your soul to Hashem. When you attach your soul to Hashem, you just sweetened all the judgments on you. You just rose above the judgments. You're in a different planet, a different world now. You're close to Hashem. You're way above all the judgments. So that's called mituk. How does a person get to these stages? Number one is humility. So how do you get to humility? And the answer is yirah. Yirah is awe. Awe. It causes humility and self-negation. If we would know who we're standing in front of, and that's why we don't know who we're standing in front of. Again, that's something which we have to start focusing on. Who am I standing in front of? Da, lifnei mi ata omed. Who said that? Pirkei Avot, right? Da lifnei mi ata omed. A person's got to know, sometimes in some shuls they have it written on the ark. Da lifnei mi ata omed. Know who you are standing in front of. That's our part. How do you know? How do you know, Hashem? How do you know? So if we knew, if we could see, if we could sense who we're standing in front of, we'd have a totally different perspective. We'd have humility. We'd have awe. That's a different frame of mind completely. That causes, the awe causes the humility. And that will break down the barriers, will create separation for the physical. So the awe, okay, is more than a frame of mind. It causes humility, self-negation. And that triggers the soul to connect with Hashem, and that triggers the mituk, which is the sweetening of all the judgments. Okay. So how do you get to that? So the word for fear of Hashem is called Yirei Shamayim. And we say every morning, Le'olam Yadam Yirei Shamayim. A person should always be a Yirei Shamayim. B'seter kibagalui. In the private, just like they are in public. This is the hardest thing to do. How can I fear God in private? It's so hard. Believe me, it's very hard. When people are around, you want to appear like a good person. So you put on the act of a good person. When people are not around, I can do whatever I want. It's private. There's no one around. So that's lack of Yirei Shamayim. Yirei Shamayim is how a person behaves in private. That's Yirei Shamayim. So a person should repeat that as a mantra. I want to be Yirei Shamayim. You know, how many people, when they pray, I was thinking about it today. I happened to be in the cemetery today. There's a funeral again, another funeral. I've never been to so many funerals in one few weeks like that. This is my fifth funeral. And you notice it always happens before Hagim. Fifth funeral today. So I happened to be in the cemetery, and I see over there, I was never on that side of the cemetery before. It's across the street, but it's the same cemetery. And I go there, and I see a big mausoleum over there, and I go inside. And it happens to be the Baba Varebi. The Baba Varebi built is buried over here in New Jersey in Floral Park Cemetery in Deans. So I said, if you press, he has a place to put kvitlach, you put your note, you write your notes, and you put it on. So why not? I'm not wasting my time. I'm praying to Hashem. B'schut the Sadiq. You don't pray to the Sadiq, you pray to the Hashem. In the merit of the Sadiq is buried over there. So, what do you pray for? What do you ask for? So, most people just say, I need health, I need wealth. That's basically most people's, that's where it ends. I need my children to get married. Oh, that's already more powerful. That's a little bit more spiritual, right? I need other people to get married. That's also very spiritual. But how many people say, Hashem, help me to learn Torah? Hashem, give me Yirat Shamayim. I want to have Yirat Shamayim. That is the key. That's what Shlomo Melo says. Yes. Exactly. It takes brains to know what to ask for. It takes Yirat Shamayim to ask for Yirat Shamayim. Exactly. You put the nail on the head. And that's something which a person's going to pray for, because it's something which is out of our grasp. It's so hard to be Yirat Shamayim. Today especially. There's so many things around. At the touch of a button today, the internet, it can be anywhere in the world, any thought in there. It's all Yirat Shamayim. What does a person do in their spare time? Yirat Shamayim. That's it. That's all there is. So we have to pray. Hashem should grant us this key of Yirat Shamayim. So that's what we say, Le'olam Yadam. It's a Mishnah which we meant to say every day. Le'olam Yadam Yirat Shamayim. Basedek Bagluy. A person should be Yirat Shamayim in private as well as in public. Umodeh Alayimet. And admit truth. Now, I didn't say this, is Rabbi Avraham Abulafia. Rabbi Avraham is a very big Kabbalist. He says the word Yirat Shamayim has the same gematria as Modeh Alayimet. Modeh Alayimet is the same gematria as Yirat Shamayim. So, Ari, maybe you can check it out. Modeh al Haemet is the same gematria as Yirat Shamayim. So, what is a Yirat Shamayim? He's Modeh al Haemet. Modeh al Haemet means he admits the truth. Admits the truth. What do you mean he admits the truth? That is what Yirat Shamayim is. Yirat Shamayim is a person who admits the truth is Hashem is here right now. Most people say, Hashem is here. What are you talking about? Where's Hashem? I don't see Hashem. He's not Yirat Shamayim. Doesn't admit the truth. So fear of heaven is connected at the core level, being in harmony with truth. But who is truthful, that's a Yirat Shamayim. Because no one knows what's going on. And the guy says, you can make up white lies, you can make up as many lies as you want. Who are you? Where do you come from? Who do you... The person can tell the whole stories. Con artists, they tell a lot of stories. So the person's got to be, their base has got to be truth. That's Yirat Shamayim. The base, their life is based on truth. A person who is truthful to his wife or boy, truthful to his spouse, person who lives with integrity, their word is their bond. That is truth. That is the basis of our relationship with God. That is the basis of a good relationship with Hashem. Hashem hates lies. Hashem hates sheker en lo raglaim. Literally, the word sheker, lies, has got three letters which have got sharp points at the bottom. They don't have legs. Lies have no legs. What does that mean? Look at the letters for the word lies. Sheker, shin, kuf, resh. All have one point. Shin has one point, Kuf has one leg, and Resh has one leg. The three letters can't stand. Whereas the letters for Emet, Aleph has got two legs, Mem has got two legs, Tef has got two legs, solid. Emet is solid. Sheker is very weak. So a person should always be fearing of heaven. Modal Emet, agreeing with the truth and speaking truth in his heart. So there's three conditions mentioned over here. Number one is, he's got to be a Resh Shamayim. He's got to be aware of Hashem. He's got to be to the point where he's in awe of Hashem all the time, which is so hard to do. Have awe of Hashem. Whereas it doesn't matter. The Shulchan Aruch says a person should eat their meal as if people are watching him. So what do you mean? So, well, Hashem is watching you. So a person's got to eat as if Hashem is watching you. Even the person's alone. So when a person, people are around, a person eats with manners. When people are not around, there's stuffing there, you know, eating fast. Shulchan says, practice eating as if Hashem is watching. The Mishnah Berurah is very strict about how you change your clothes when no one's around. Be sanua, even in private. Modesty. Everything needs to be modest. So it's a very high level. It's a very, very high level. Agreeing with the truth. Agreeing with the truth means separation from falsehood. And a lot of stuff around us is falsehood. Right? And you see it today. This world is a tinsel town world. Why? Because they advertise all garbage and they make it sound good. Right? Everything looks great. The advertising great looks great. The car looks great, right? Next year it's out of date already. Next month it could be out of date already. Right? Everything looks great. On paper it looks great. Pictures look fantastic. And then you get into it and it's different. It's different. So it's falsehood. Speaking sincerely, uniting heart and mind. That's the hamtaka. Hamtaka is when your heart and your mind are the same. There's no dissonance between them, between the heart and the mind. Whereas my mind thinks what my heart wants. My heart desires and my mind thinks the same level. Usually what happens is that there's a dissonance. Because the Yetzirah says, I want this, and the mind says, I want this. And there's a dissonance. That dissonance does not create mitzvah. That causes judgment. When a person is totally going the same way all the time, his mind and his heart are the same direction, then that's mituk. Hashem resides when man removes their ego. That is what awareness is about. It is about making a sanctuary for Hashem, a sacred space in our heart, a place and boundaries separated from the world and one's ego-driven desires. Consciousness of Hashem leads to humility, which causes separation from falsehood, and agreeing with the truth, speaking truth in one's heart, brings to connection to Hashem, and brings sweetness into one's life. So those are the keys. The keys of successful prayers are awe of Hashem and humility. And that results on the light of Hashem. So we're going to stop here. And we'll continue Bezrat Hashem with Kavanah.